Some people say love is a feeling, while others say love is a choice. Some say love expects nothing in return, while others say love is a two-way street. Some people say the problem with the world is that we don't love ourselves enough, while others say the problem with the world is that we love ourselves too much. You see, we all desire love the same way, but we don't all define love the same way. Let's turn our hearts to the Bible and discover together what God says love is. Every day I read the news and encounter yet another story that leaves me shaking my head. It's usually of a person captured on someone's cell phone camera screaming off racist comments. You know, maybe they were denied service somewhere because they weren't wearing a face mask, or somebody called them out because of bad behavior. And so they flipped their lid and opened their mouth, and out came the hatred. Hatred against Black Lives Matter. Hatred against illegal immigrants, hatred against Asians, blaming them for the coronavirus. And what I find so stunning is that in a world where everyone is watching right now, there are still people who aren't even trying to hide their hatred. Maybe you saw the footage of that middle-aged white couple in St. Louis who were standing on their front yard pointing loaded guns at protesters who were walking by. You know, there's something about the imagery of seeing this guy in a pink polo tucked into khaki pants brandishing a semi-automatic rifle. It just epitomized the racial divide that's in our country. And I heard plenty of Christians coming to defense of this couple, and it just made me wonder, didn't Jesus say love your neighbor? Because I think that when Jesus said love your neighbor, that probably meant don't shoot them. You know, it takes about 60 seconds of looking at the headlines to be reminded that this world has no shortage of bad news. This world has no shortage of opinions. This world has no shortage of hostility and anger and division. What this world is short on, however, is love. And maybe it's time for the church to step up and close that gap. We've been in the midst of a series called Love Is. And my hope is that we can see the heart of God in the pages of the Bible and find out for ourselves what kind of love Jesus expects his followers to exemplify. You know, maybe the most well-known verse in the whole Bible is John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not die, but have eternal life." This is how love is defined in the Bible. The word love, as described in John 3:16, comes from the Greek noun agape, which means self-sacrificial. Literally, it means charity. You know, when we think of charity, we often think about donating clothes or giving money to an organization, and those things are fine. But this kind of charity, this kind of love, is the self-sacrificial kind. It's the kind that gives of itself to another at great personal cost. For God so loved, agape, gave himself. Self-sacrificial. God gave his one and only Son, great personal cost to the giver. Based on these verses, this is how we're defining love. Love is seeking what's best for you, even if it's not best for me. This was displayed by Jesus on the cross. It wasn't what was best for him, but it was absolutely what's best for us. See, the Bible defines love much different than our world defines love. So in part one of the series, we dug a little bit deeper into that by saying that love is selfless. Jesus demonstrates this kind of love for us. Now it's our turn to demonstrate it for others. And the only way to do this is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, supernaturally empowered to get beyond our own self-interests. And then in part two, Pastor Joel Sanchez unpacked another aspect of this love, that love is forgiving, real love. Doesn't leave people locked in a prison of unforgiveness. Real love doesn't callously offend and then turn around and expect forgiveness after an apology. No, this kind of love clothes itself in compassion and kindness, making the strong choice to forgive, to cancel the debts of another. So today I want to look at a third aspect of this kind of biblical love, and that is this. Love is visible. It is active. It's tangible. It's evident. And so for this, we are going to dig into the New Testament book of 1 John chapter 3. So if you have a Bible with you, open that up now. And if you don't have one handy, we'll display the verses up on the screen. Let's see what the Apostle John has to say to us about love. 1 John 3, beginning in verse 16, it says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." This is the consistent message of the Bible, that Jesus showed us what real love looks like. He died in our place to pay the penalty for our sins so that we didn't have to. And not only did he lay his own life down, but he expects his followers to do the same. And then John gets into some specifics. Verse 17. "If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in that person?" So now John is putting us all on blast. He's calling us all on the carpet. And he asks the question, if you see a need and you have the means to meet that need, what are you waiting for? But the deeper question is more terrifying. The deeper question that John asks is, if you look at another person in need and you don't even care, John wonders, are you really a Christian? Because the benchmark of an authentic follower of Jesus is how you love one another. Verse 18, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." I find it interesting that John calls us children. Another translation says little children. It's like a father breaking this down for us on the simplest level. And he's saying, this is God's measuring stick for love, how you treat one another. It's interesting that John doesn't say, here's how you know you're a Christian, if you get all the answers right on the pop quiz at the end of the sermon. Here's how you know if you're a Christian, by finding yourself in a church building every week. Here's how you know if you're a Christian. It's based on what you wear, what you watch, and what kind of music you listen to. No, instead what John is essentially saying is, if you want to know you are a Christian, you need to show you are a Christian. Let us not just love with words and speech, but let us love with actions and in truth. There's an old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when John says, let's not love with words or speech, he's not saying that words aren't important. They absolutely are important. But what John is saying is, don't let your love stop at your lips. Make sure it can be seen and not just heard. Make sure the love is visible. And this is so critical to make Jesus known in our world. Because here's the tension. This is the tension that we feel. Loving a person doesn't get them into heaven. The only way a person gets into heaven is by placing their faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and following his ways all their life. See, loving a person doesn't save their soul. I could show love to my neighbors by mowing their lawn every week. I could show love to people by dropping off care packages on their porches all day long. I could show love by playing dominoes with grandma and her crew every Friday night. And if I did those things, people would say, you know, that Steve, he's a loving person. But here's the thing, I can't forgive sins. I can't change hearts. I can't guarantee eternity. Only Jesus can do that. See, loving a person doesn't save their soul. And so the real temptation is, well, if loving somebody doesn't save them, then maybe it's not all that important. I mean, God loves everybody, but for me, maybe there's a little wiggle room. Here's what I want us to grab hold of today, and this is so important. Love doesn't save the soul, but it does set the stage. My visible, loving actions open the door to the possibility of somebody receiving the gospel. You see, if I tell the world that Jesus changed my heart, and then I turn around and spew hatred in my latest Facebook post, I'm not getting it. If I say Jesus is the only hope in the world, but then turn around and slam everyone who doesn't support my presidential candidate, I'm missing the point. Friends, let me remind you, this November, we aren't electing a savior. Jesus already holds that title. My savior doesn't live on Capitol Hill. My savior died on Calvary's Hill. My savior is perfect in love and justice and mercy. And if I want any chance of telling the world about this savior, I've got to live it. I've got to show it. Love has to be visible. Love doesn't save the soul, but it does set the stage. Visible love lays the groundwork for God's work. Love lays the foundation for salvation. Can I make a guess about you? If you're somebody who has professed faith in Jesus, or you're on that road toward God, I'm willing to guess that the reason you are is not because of a church building, but because of a church person. I'm willing to guess that somewhere in your journey toward God, somebody showed you the visible love of Jesus, and it had a massive impact on your life. One of the pastors on our staff came out of a background of drug addiction. And this past week in our preaching team, he was sharing a story with us that in the height of his drug addiction, a friend invited him to a Bible study. And so he reluctantly attended, but before he did so, he smoked a whole lot of meth. And for him, one of the effects of smoking meth that it had on his body was that it caused him to sweat profusely. So he shows up at this little church on a hot summer Southern California afternoon, and he's sweating like crazy. And inside this little church is no air conditioner, and there's only one fan. And that fan is pointing at the lady who's playing the piano, who is a rather large woman herself. And if you've been around church for any length of time, you know, you do not touch the fan pointing at piano lady. I don't care if you're the president of the United States. I don't care if you own the fan. You do not touch the fan pointed at piano lady. And so this pastor was just recounting the story that he's sitting in this Bible study, just sweating like a pig. And some church person gets up and walks across the room and unplugs that fan, brings it back over to him, and plugs it back in. And as he was telling the story, he started to tear up. He said that one little simple act of love had such an impact on him because he just couldn't believe that somebody would care that much about a messed up stranger that they would show this kind of love. Now, did that love save his soul? No, but it did set the stage. It showed him, a person who is in a low and desperate spot, that Jesus isn't just someone that you study, he's someone that you copy. And when we love others in a visible way, it can have an impact and open up the possibility for someone to receive the gospel. So what's your story? Who was that person who first showed you that love of Jesus? Maybe it was a grandparent or a mom or a dad, maybe a coach, a teacher, a pastor, a neighbor. Who was that person? In fact, I'd like you to take a minute to talk about that. Maybe you're watching this right now with your small group or with some family members in your living room. Maybe you're engaged in the online chat with our different church platforms. What I'd like for you to do is to take a minute and answer this question. Who was it that first showed you the visible love of Jesus? Let's take some time to discuss that, and then we'll jump back into the message. For me, it was a volunteer youth leader at a church in New Jersey. My sister invited me to this youth group and I was nervous to go. I didn't know anybody and I said, I'll go one time. And when I got there, this volunteer made me feel like I was the most important person in the room. And the other kids in the youth group followed his lead. And God used that little New Jersey youth group to have a massive impact on my life. It's extraordinary what loving actions can do to a person's long-term relationship with God. You know, I'm standing here in Rialto, California at the Sunrise Peace Center. You know, in many ways, this place embodies the heart of 1 John 3:18. It meets the physical needs of people through the distribution of food, but it also meets the spiritual needs of people through the presentation of the gospel. But understand that this place didn't get this way by accident. It had to start with the people who work behind the scenes. They have to live it first. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like for you to hear from some of them. So in the process, I'm going to give us three growth challenges, and hopefully this encourages you to want to grow in loving more like Jesus loves. So here's the first growth challenge. Let's move from careless to kindness. And for this, let's talk to our Director of Outreach and Missions, Pastor David Gomez. So David, tell us, how did your journey with Sunrise Church begin?
It was interesting. You know, I was going through some hard times in life and I was driving by the building and I decided to pull in. It was a little after 11 o'clock, so service already started. And I pulled in, I parked, and there was a little bit of apprehension there. I didn't want to get out. I was thinking, maybe I shouldn't try this. But the interesting thing was there was a guy that pulled up in a golf cart, parked right outside of my car. Waited for me to get out, and so at that point I felt like I had to get out. You know, I wasn't going to leave him hanging. Got out the car, got into the golf cart, drove up to the front of the service, and there he dropped me off. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm about to take off. The minute he leaves, the minute he turns that corner, I'm going back to my car. The guy stays there. I turn around, I look at him, he waves. I walk a couple steps, I turn around, I look at him, he waves again, he gives me that smile, that encouragement of just, hey, I'm gonna be here. Mm. And he probably knew, and he probably could feel the fact that I was gonna take off. And so I went in, and that was the day that, you know, my whole life changed. Rededicated myself to Christ, and been here for 7 years now.
Wow.
At Sunrise Church.
Have you ever thought about how your life might be different if that one greeter just let you off the hook and, you know, drove away at your first no?
Completely. I think about that all the time. I think about the lifestyle I was living beforehand with, you know, filling my life with, or filling the void with materialism and possessions and things like that. And I probably would have never felt the love of Christ or learned how I could be kind and love others.
Mm. Yeah. How do you think that experience has shaped how you deal with people who come to the Peace Center here looking for food and other things?
I think it's given me an opportunity to see things from a different lens. It allows me to see that every person that comes here is, one, not only important, but should be loved. Mm. It allows me to see that you never know who you interact with, and you never know that that act of kindness, that gesture of love that you give to someone, how much it can mean to somebody. Mm. We're talking a little bit about 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, when it talks about relinquishing the possessions that you have in order to give to others. I think through that all the time. I think through the lifestyle that I would have lived of acquiring materialism and possessions, but the void it would have left me of being able to help others. And now that we're able to help others through the Peace Center, now that we're able to touch on physical things, it opens up the door to have spiritual conversations. What better way to show Jesus's love than providing the needs for people physically and spiritually?
From careless to kindness. Who is one person in your life today that could use some kindness? A relative, a neighbor, a friend on Facebook? I want to just encourage you to make one small action today that shows kindness, that shows the love of Jesus, and perhaps it could open up the door to point this person toward receiving the gospel. First challenge, let's move from careless to kindness. Here's the second. Let's move from annoyance to patience. That's a hard one, isn't it? How do you stay patient with people who annoy you? Well, let's talk about that with our Rialto campus pastor, Anthony Riley. So Anthony, you patiently waited on God as you pastored this community for 4 years before we turned the church building into the Peace Center. How have you seen God work here?
One is through salvations. Being 4 years a pastor of South Rialto, maybe we had 10 salvations, people come to Christ. In the last 4 months, we had over 50 people come to Christ. That's one way I see God doing something amazing. Another thing is in attendance. You figure we're open twice a week on during any given week. So on Wednesdays and Sundays, between Spanish and English, we average about maybe 120, 150 people in that time. But since, again, we launched the Peace Center here, we had over 600 people prayed for, over 4,500 people coming to this location. That's insane to me. And the numbers keep growing.
Amen. So it's one thing to be patient with church people at a church building. It's a whole other thing to be patient with somebody who lives in your neighborhood.
Correct.
Recently, you and I were just talking about a conversation you had with your neighbor over some of the racial issues going on in our country. Tell me a little bit about that conversation.
Very interesting conversation. Me and my friend, my neighbor, we talk every once in a while. And one day in the afternoon, I walk outside and she said, "Hey, Pastor Anthony, how you doing?" I said, "I'm doing great. How are you doing?" So we begin to talk about the issue behind Floyd being dying by the hands of police officers. And she kind of agreed that what they did was not right. They should be held accountable for the murder of him. And I was tracking with her at that time.
Yeah, we're in agreement here.
We're in agreement. And then she said, "You know, but there's so much evil in this world. No one is good anymore." And I said, "Yeah." She said, "You know, just a couple of days ago, they did an autopsy on him. And it came back that he had narcotics in his system. You know, if he wouldn't have had those narcotics in his system, then maybe that wouldn't have happened." I said, "Wait a second. Now you're losing me." I said, "You had me with the agreeing that what they did was wrong. Now you're saying that if he didn't have that in his system, maybe it wouldn't have happened." And then I told her, I said, "Let's go further with that, if you will." I said, "Well, maybe if the officer didn't have his foot in his neck, maybe it wouldn't have been an autopsy at all."
Yeah, we don't do autopsies on people who are still alive.
Correct.
Yeah.
So when I told her that, she said, "You know, I never thought of it like that. Would you forgive me?" I said, "Of course I forgive you."
So, Anthony, how do you remain patient in that situation? Because, you know, I find it interesting that, you know, we start to say, "Well, he had drugs in his body," you know, as if somebody who's on drugs doesn't deserve to live.
Correct.
You know, it could be real easy to fly off the handle, cut the conversation off, walk away, say something you regret. How do you remain patient in a situation like that?
I think simply we have to seek clarification through conversation. It begins with you trying to understand where the person is coming from, and then try to bring the love of Jesus in the conversation. And I think that's what I tried to do. I think that's what happened because she actually asked for forgiveness at that time.
Wow.
And I said, "Hey man, I accept your apology." And she said, "I never knew that or saw it from that way." And I think that's what the Apostle John was trying to get us to understand as Christians. And in 1 John, as you said, in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, it says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him." And I just think if we say we are Christians, we have to get to a place where we can be patient with one another. And it's through our patience that we show and express the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
From annoyance to patience. Understand that if you want to love like Jesus loves, your patience will be tested. And impatience ends the conversation. Impatience shuts people down. Impatience slams the door on opportunity. So I challenge you today to ask God, "Increase my love by increasing my patience." First growth challenge. Let's move from careless to to kindness. Number two, let's move from annoyance to patience. Here's number three. Let's move from coldness to boldness. Let's turn up the temperature on our frigid faith. You know, we all have room to grow when it comes to our actions of love. And John challenged us, let's love in actions and in truth. How are you doing with the truth part? How many of us have squandered opportunities to give people the reason behind the action? I want to talk about this a little more with a volunteer named Lupe Reyes. So Lupe, tell us, what's your favorite part about serving here at the Peace Center?
Oh gosh, my favorite part is being able to pray with people when they allow you to and able to present the gospel. So that's it right there. I can't add anything to it.
Well, you're a guy who loves to share Christ with people.
Yeah.
Aren't you afraid to do that?
No.
Why?
Because they're not rejecting me.
Mm.
They're rejecting the true God, and the Bible says so. So I'm not, because I know that when people would share Christ with me, I would say no.
Mm.
But the inside was always asking. So I take that personal experience, even though it's a no, I take it as seed planted. So I don't take anything that God puts in front of me for granted, or that it's not going to grow anything. So a person, because if you would have saw me when you tried to present the gospel to me, you would have said, no way, no way, no way.
What was your life like? Who presented the gospel to you?
Oh gosh, there's a series of things. From my great grandma that sat me on her lap and told me, look, at a book, she's the Lamb of God. Whereas another person, they brought planted seed. They brought food to us on Christmas Eve and gifts because we didn't have any.
Mm.
And that was the Christians. That's part of the reason why I do that, what I do today. Third one was when a lady did a Bible study with my mom that had cancer. And then when my mom received Christ, she was all giddy and she was excited. I didn't understand at the time. So that was another seed planted. And then my best friend that prayed to receive Christ came and mentioned Christ to me. And at the time I wasn't ready, and I told him to go away or I'd beat him up. But anyway, those are all seeds. And then finally, two young men that came up to me and asked me the very question that I asked today. Sir, if you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity?
Mm.
And I remember thinking to myself, no, I don't.
Wow.
So now all those seeds, it wasn't until one day I was at my worst. I didn't even want to live anymore.
Mm.
But I saw a lady that was a Christian, and my thought was this. She's a Christian. She's supposed to invite me to church, because I thought that's what Christians did.
Mm.
But I remember she was walking, because I was a meat cutter, and she turned around and she looked at me and she said, would you like to come to church? And I remember thinking to myself, the outside went, all right. The inside was, yes, 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 yes. But the outside was, my friends were mocking me. But it was that day that I looked, that Sunday that I went, and the pastor said, if you want Christ, come forward. So that was the day that I received Christ. That was the day, that very day, he said, we're going to go out and do some witnessing. He wants to go. And I said, that's what Christians do. I'll go.
Mm.
So I know what I felt like. I know that I wanted to end my life. So how many more people feel like I do?
Mm.
And that's not a good thing.
Wow.
When we're able to share Jesus, you see them just go and have hope.
Wow.
So that's why I do what I do.
Lupe, isn't it enough to just feed someone? Isn't it loving enough to just give them food?
No. Uh-uh. Because they come. They're not here just for the food. And they think they are. But I believe it's a design by God.
Mm.
And if it's a design by God, we're here for a reason. We're here to pray and present the gospel. 9 out of 10 times, people want prayer.
Mm.
9 out of 10 times, people don't have any hope. And then I'm able to present the gospel. And all of a sudden, you see them, their countenance change. I get to experience that.
Mm.
I get to experience it.
Mm.
So I get excited, because they don't have to live that lifestyle.
Mm.
They can come to Jesus now. And we at Sunrise, we're here for them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
from coldness to boldness. Let's turn up the temperature on our faith and let's be bold. Remember, love doesn't save the soul, but it does set the stage. And when that stage is set, let's step into those opportunities boldly to share Jesus with people. And maybe you're watching this right now and you're hearing some of these stories and you're feeling inspired and encouraged. And you think, you know, yeah, this world needs more loving people like these. And maybe you've even used language like, you know, God bless you. You're a better person than I am. Don't say that. That's dismissive language. That kind of language assumes that you can never be a person who loves this way. But you can. You can be. Jesus Christ can change your heart. You are not too far gone. You are not too messed up. Your situation is not beyond repair. When you give your heart to Jesus, He gives His heart to you. When you open up your life to Him, He moves in and He could change you from the inside out. Jesus can change anyone who is willing. So my question for you right now is, are you willing? If you want to begin a life-transforming relationship with Jesus Christ, I can help you do that. It starts with a prayer. I can give you the words, but you've got to pray them and you've got to mean them. So if you want to invite Jesus into your life today, why don't you pray along with me right now? Just repeat out loud the words that I say. Jesus, I confess my sins to you. Will you forgive me? I believe in you. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. Will you change my heart, God? Will you help me love like you love? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus into your life, I want to encourage you right now, pick up your phone and text the word next to the number displayed at the bottom of the screen. We have people standing by at all hours of the day to help you take that next step and understand what this journey looks like ahead. Maybe you've already asked Jesus to come into your life and you want to go deeper. Maybe you want to join a small group or just have somebody to help you process your questions worth. Text next to the number below. Maybe even as you've been watching this, you're feeling inspired, you want to serve more. Our team has been creatively working behind the scenes to create serving opportunities in this complicated COVID environment. Text next to find out more. Maybe you need prayer right now. If you're watching this live, we've got prayer partners right now ready to pray with you. Just type your prayer request into the chat window or arrange for a private prayer chat. And if you're watching this on demand and you have needs like prayer or maybe food and supplies, reach out to us by sending us an email at need@sunrisechurch.org and we'll help you as best as we can. 1 John 3:18 says this, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Love is seeking what's best for you, even if it's not best for me. And what's best for the world is to know that Jesus is real. How do we show the world that Jesus is real? By making His love visible. By exemplifying this love through our kindness. By exemplifying this love through our patience. By exemplifying this love through our boldness. By sharing with people the reason behind the action. Friends, listen. There's plenty of people out there ready to share their opinions with you. There's plenty of people out there ready to put you in your place. There's plenty of people out there ready to show you how you're wrong or remind you of how insignificant you really are. Our world isn't hurting on hate, but our world is longing for love. And it's time for Christians to step up and show it. Love is visible. So church, let's put it on display. Amen? Amen.